Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how the perfect land acquisition makes you run to the bank.
Isn't that great?
You know, we talk about jogging to the bank.
Right.
Sauntering to the bank.
Right. Walking away from the bank.
Meandering to the bank.
Running out of the bank.
Strolling to the bank.
Just kidding.
And full-blown sprinting to the bank based on how the good the deal is.
Right.
I'm sure you have examples of all of it right now.
Right.
So Jill and I don't, surprisingly, we don't communicate that much at work. And then every time we sit down to record these shows.
This is the most that we talk.
3 minutes before we sit down, you know, she's like, what's the topic? I say it's, you know. And I label it, like in this case, it's a perfect land that makes you, and she's like, oh, I have two right now. Yep. I have two properties right now that I, you know.
Exactly.
And then the camera turns on and she's like, sweet Jill. She's not CEO Jill.
Thank you. Thank you.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of the members, one of our members, on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Tim W. asks, a seller wants me to sell the farmland out behind her home, but wants to keep the home. How would you go about doing this? I've heard about subdividing after you buy a property, but I could not find information how to subdivide a property when you buy it. I don't want to do the work and pay the money and have it not have it close. Property is located in Vermilion Parish, Louisiana, looking at about 40-ish acres, so a survey is not going to be cheap. I did some searching and could not find a previous post. If there's a step-by-step or a post that I missed previously, please send me a link. I greatly appreciate it. Funny. Bonus, this is cute, bonus valuation information or question. They used to farm rice, crawfish, and soybeans, but it's currently not being farmed. Do you value farmland different than you do vacant parcels? There are not many parcels for sale in the parish, and it's quite remote. The typical websites are not giving very many properties to compare to. This is a good one. Why don't you go first?
This is a diamond. You found a little diamond here. Number one, when there's agricultural property like this, there are very, very liberal, pro-user, pro-seller, pro-buyer rules that are rooted in the statutes in every state that I've ever checked. I have not checked Louisiana specifically, where this kind of thing happens all the time, and you don't have to go through a lengthy process at all. As an agricultural person or a farmer, you can probably literally walk into this and walk into the county and say, I need to separate my house APN from my farming APN.
Right.
And they, you know, I know for sure in the core agricultural states like Kansas and Iowa, that this is a two-day process.
Right.
Maybe a one-incident process. It's very, very pro-agriculture. So my guess is this is a lot. You don't have to go through a subdivision. It's a lot easier than that. Number two, agricultural property is priced way differently than rural vacant land or even infill lots. So you've got something here for sure, and I'd stick with it. It might take a little while to close, but I think it's worth doing.
Almost sounds like the seller doesn't even know what she has and what it's worth, obviously, because she's not volunteering that information. She's asking you as the expert, because you're the investor, what is it worth? And that's what you're trying to figure out yourself. And that's a tough one sometimes when there aren't a lot of comps to pull from and figure it out.
Which is a good thing.
I know, exactly. So the good news is you can just, you know, if you aim for, you know, the real value as just vacant land, knowing that, it's probably going to be worth more.
Yeah.
And if your seller's happy, that's really what matters.
Yep.
You know, if she's happy with whatever price that you're comfortable with and she's comfortable with, and hey, if there's, and it's worth more, great. And you know what? You may not even know that. This is what's interesting too. So you're the buyer. You're going at this with the in good faith and being a good person. You're giving what you think it should be valued at. Then you go sell it, right? And then maybe that person who buy it from knows it's worth even more than that. That's okay. You know, send it forward with love, kind of thing. That's how I feel.
Agricultural property is a commodity, so price per acre is very easy to find out. Right. If you just go on to Google and say price per acre in Iowa for agricultural land, you'll get maps will pop up. Really, really detailed Universities do studies on this stuff every year to find out exactly, county by county, how much property is worth. And the ranges are like this. Last time I looked in California, it's about $11,000 an acre. Iowa and Kansas in the center states is closer to $3,000 to $4,000 to $5,000 to $6,000 an acre, depending on where you are and how much water is there. Rice and crawfish are very water intensive crops slash farm. So that's good. There's water there and probably fresh water. So
probably a lot of water.
I love these kinds of deals. I would personally spend some time on this because 40 acres, you know, the home site's probably an acre. So now you're looking at 30 to 40 acres times, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 that you could make per acre theoretically. It's worth working on.
That's cool. Thank you.
I included it because it's fun.
Yes.
Today's topic, perfect land acquisition. The perfect land acquisition makes you run to the bank. Yes. This is the meat of the show.
I love these scenarios, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, every now and then,
I love running to the bank.
You know, exactly. You have these amazing, awesome deal scenarios, and you just can't wait. It's funny because sometimes it comes up on our member calls. We'll have a deal review, and we'll get into it. This is how it usually happens. You don't know. You really don't know, and you're doing a deal review, or you're reviewing your own. You're doing your own due diligence. You start looking at the property, you know what you sent your offer on, you know what they've agreed to, and here's how it goes. You're like looking at it going, this might not be right. In a good way, by the way.
What's wrong with this?
Like,
they signed it and sent it back?
And now I'm looking at the comps. Okay, am I missing something? This is what's funny, is that we often second guess ourselves in these situations. All of a sudden you realize that a light bulb goes off, you're like, wait a minute. I'm looking at this. Like, I have one, you know, a 10 acres in Colorado. And you're looking at this. This offer comes back. And you're like, wait a minute. This can't be right. I know I only offered X. And they agreed to that. But now that I'm really looking at the comps and I see where it is on the map, holy cow. It's, you know, not far from this area. Look what's going on over here. Oh, my gosh. There's utilities at the line. Uh-oh, this is worth even more. So that's what happens sometimes. And then you start second-guessing yourself. There's a brief moment where we all kind of second-guess ourselves going, okay, I must be missing something because there's no way that they agreed to this and I could buy it for this, but it's really worth that, you know, and that is a run-to-the-bank situation. And it happens, and it will happen.
Yeah, for me to run to the bank, it's a value thing. It's not so much a use thing.
Right.
So what gets me running to the bank is why they're selling it, not so much the actual piece of property.
True.
So if I hear the seller say, and I don't talk to sellers much anymore, but if Jill tells me or her staff, for whatever reason, it gets to me.
Right.
If the seller's saying something like, we just did a deal actually like this. The person's really elderly. In fact, they're in and out of the hospital right now. The husband is with the wife 100% of the time, and they're tired of dealing with this, and it's been for sale on and off for a couple of years at this retail price of more than $1 million. Can you just send us a check for $50,000 and we'll be done with it?
Exactly.
And they came up with the number, not me.
Right, just want to get out of
the mailer
lives.
That we sent. Yeah, that just happened to us.
Exactly.
So that is when I'm like, you know. After it takes, at this point in our career, it takes maybe 5 minutes to look at the property on Parcel Factor or wherever else to realize, it takes me less than 5 minutes to realize, wow, this is serious. So that's, you know, those are the moments you kind of,
it's
like watching
these.
A baseball game and just when somebody, and you're sort of just, you're watching it for so long, you stop paying attention and someone knocks it out of the park. You know, it just gets your attention.
Totally. That's funny. That's true. You know, it's interesting too. It can happen more than once. I remember first getting into this business with you, and I remember there was a few times that I went, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, like it was run of the bank situation. Yeah. It sold really fast. The guy who we sold it to still made more money. It was fantastic. And I remember thinking, well, that's it. You know, mic drop, that'll never happen again. That was our one and only, wow, hit it out of the park, you know, grand slam, never going to have one of those again. And then a few months later, you know, then here comes another one. I'm like, what just happened? But I think, too, for us, partially is the volume that we send out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to give you false expectations. I want you to think that you're going to have one every year, every month, every whatever. It's going to be in direct relationship to how much mail you send out, too, by the way, and how good you are at pricing these. And,
yeah.
I mean, again, it really comes down to the mail. You're hitting these people with these situations. And even like the question we just answered, it sounded like the seller didn't really know, didn't really care,
yeah.
You know, wanted to get some money from back there. I don't know what's it worth. And looking to you to say, all right, I'll give you this, you know, kind of thing. And she might be very happy with that. And that's okay. That's,
exactly.
It's great. So, yeah, don't get frustrated, too. And if this doesn't happen to you, you think very often. Some people, I think, they are kind of run-to-the-bank situations, but they're just not run-to-the-bank people. You know what I mean? So they're like, yeah, whatever. So I'm like, yeah, you know, so don't get cocky if you, you know, and don't get frustrated if you don't feel like you're not getting these good situations. It's really, to me, it's volume. It's just really, it's just the nature of the business and what we're doing. And the more mail, I think.
If you send out 1,500 units a month and you're focusing on rural vacant land, what you can expect is this. Some infill lots will be, just by the nature of the whole thing,
right,
will be thrown in there as acquisitions for you. You should expect to do a home run bare minimum once a year if you're at 1,500 units. We have people in our group sending out 10,000 units a month. You know, and they're, and as you would expect, they're nailing, they're hitting stand-up doubles, stand-up triples, and they're hitting a lot of singles. So,
right.
You know, it's all just a function of numbers. It's very, here's what, you will get a run-to-the-bank situation. It's very predictable. It's not like fishing.
Yeah.
Where you just, you never really know what's going to happen no matter how much equipment you have. You just don't know if it's going to be a good day or a bad day.
Right.
Sending mail out the way that we do, and if you're educated on pricing it and how to manage the inbound flow, it will yield predictable results. Between 300 and 350 units per property you purchase should be sent out.
Exactly.
Here's some things that can really dramatically affect, positively or negatively, that yield.
This is good.
An incorrectly priced mailer, the all bets are off.
Right.
You have to make sure that's correct. Number two, if you don't do the research about where you're sending mail before you you send it out, we cover all this stuff in the programs, but this is the show.
Okay.
If you send it to an area that's just, you just didn't do enough homework on it, that's not good. If you make some type of material error in the actual offer you're sending, for instance, you just say, you know, I don't need to send this to the actual person, John Smith. I'm just going to send it to whom it may concern.
Yeah.
Or current resident. That will never work.
No.
That'll dramatically negatively affect it.
I throw all those away. I had one the other day, by the way, in the mail. It said, my name or current resident. I'm like, what was it? I should have saved it. I don't know what it was. I'm like, what was the point of that? I was not, you know, land business. It was something for something else. I was being solicited. But I thought, it stuck out to me because it looks so odd. Like, you had my name right. Why didn't you trust yourself? You really don't care who gets it. Why bother? You know? And I'm like, it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So
testing, if you send out just 300 units and expect to buy a property, that will probably fail.
Exactly.
Although we've had reports back of people sending out 10 letters and they buy a property.
Well, they were priced perfectly, apparently. That's
I've done
the thing.
Tiny little, what I call micro mailer in the past.
Well, you know what?
For residences.
That's like a slot machine. I mean, I think that situation was like walking in and finding a dollar on the ground and putting it in a slot machine and winning.
Yeah.
That can happen, but please don't count on that. Because we know people in casinos that have done that, so.
But Jill and I have, to buy a primary residence, we've done this where we focus on one tiny little neighborhood. Yeah. It's probably 50 or 80 properties. And we send out a mailer, but it's priced like we want to buy it ourselves.
Right.
So it's priced at 80% instead of 30% of what the retail value is. You know, you're going to buy some property that way.
Exactly.
A bunch of properties, actually, on a tiny little mailer.
Yep. I remember this one I was just thinking about. One of my favorites was this property in Modoc County. It was like California. It was like 5 or 10 acres. I didn't even know what it was worth. I didn't know. I just knew you had sent out the mail. I'm doing my usual things years ago, closing the deals, and it was gorgeous, but I'm like, what's so special about it? I think the guy that bought it from us was a home run for him because he could not close that deal fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, and, I remember that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and it was just like, and you know what? I didn't care. So, you know what? I've been on the receiving end. This is good to say, too. I've been the seller going, you know what? Good for you. I know what I got, what I wanted out of the deal. If you kill it, fantastic. And by the way, then I know you're my customer for life, you know, because you'll be coming back to me for more of those.
Yep.
And that's what happens.
Exactly.
It's so good.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for an episode called Our Most Successful Members Have This in Common.
I'm not sure what it is.
I know exactly what it is.
Oh, I have to think about this one. Is it? Okay, I got a few good ones. All right. And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. It's interesting to do this without headphones, Joe.
I like it better without headphones. Yes, I can breathe. I can hear. I'm not like in a tunnel. I don't look like Princess Leia.
I'm trying to get used to it.
It's good. It's really good. Wherever you're listening or wherever you're watching, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.